Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry, coming to you straight from Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. I welcome you all wherever you are in the name of the Lord, and I thank you for tuning in to listen to this broadcast. You know, we've been on this broadcast now getting to the fourth year. I've been very consistent, broadcasting almost like every day, but because now we have a Bible college online, spend the time, you know, teaching the students, getting the students geared up, preparing lessons. So that has kind of like taken away a little bit of my time from my actual broadcasts with you. But remember, I'm there. I'm working on my book, as I told you last time. The original title was Wake Up the Mighty Man. I'd written it a long time ago in Africa, gave it to my niece who was coming to the United States of America. She was going to go to Roberts University. I gave her my manuscript, which she submitted to Vantage Printers or Publishers in New York. But, you know, the whole charge was like almost $13,000 to have the book published. And they needed like a down payment of $3,000. Took a while until the manuscript, you wouldn't believe it, but it was destroyed by the publisher. They said, no, we didn't hear from you. I called them when I was came back from seminary in Massachusetts here to Dallas, Texas. I called them up, and they said, hey, we still have your manuscript. If you can come up with $3,000, we'll go ahead and publish. But it happened that at that time I couldn't come up with the $3,000. And so the next time I called, they said they don't have the manuscript. But somebody told me that if it takes a long time, they do destroy. Now, you know, it pains me that I never had a copy. I lost a copy of my manuscript when I gave it to my niece. But suffice to say, I'm working on another book in the same format and title. But it's the title of this book is My Walk of Faith Over the Years That I've Been a Child of God. And I want to share with the upcoming generation. You know, we got to leave a legacy for those who are yet to come. A legacy for those who become ministers of the gospel. A legacy for those who like to do exploits for the kingdom of God. You know, people like Oral Roberts, whom I follow very closely. I'm very good friends with his son, Richard Roberts, whom we worked with in Africa for a long time. I value their legacy. I studied with Rhema for 3 years under the legacy of Kenneth Hagins. It's outstanding. It's just, I have that legacy. There are many, many men of God. I appreciate their ministry. And the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me. He said, son, you need to leave a legacy. You need to leave something that the coming generations will look up to and say, well, in 2016, 2017, 2018, whatever year, that was a Bishop Mwamba in Dallas, Texas. And with his wife, Tarina, they were reaching out to the world for Jesus Christ. And that's our purpose. So far we are training, like I told you last time, we have almost like, we're getting to about 15 students who are online. We have students in London, students in Tanzania, students in Uganda, students in South Africa, students in Zambia, students here in America. And we are having a student coming up in Kenya. And Botswana, these are potential students we are yet to have. Our school is still open. If you want to join us, just send me an email to Word of Life Bible College, 777-37@gmail.com, and we'll reply to you. Just say, look, Bishop Mwamba, or attention of Director of Admissions, who is my wife, she will respond to you. Attention of Director of Admissions at Word of Life Bible College, 777@gmail.com, and let her know that you want to study, and she will reply to you and give you the requirements for you to study at our college. The college is pegged at $600 a year. And, you know, like when I did my studies with Rema, I did long distance learning from Africa, and I paid $600, but it took 3 years for me to finish the course. But thank God I did it. Pays when you study. It opens up your understanding. It makes you effective. It makes you a person that can contribute to the well-being of society. Like I shared with you last time, since I was born again, I've never slacked in following the Lord. I was born again in 1977 on 7th of August. And I said to you last time, I said, you know, for 30 years, when I was 30, that's when I went into the ministry, just like Jesus. Jesus, when he was 30 years old, that's when he went into the ministry. He responded to the call of God on his life. And last time I was saying, hey, man, I'm 63. I'm not 63. I checked when I went to the hospital recently to have my wisdom tooth checked. They wrote on my documentation that I was 61 years old. I said, why am I rushing my years? Come on now. 61 years old. Yeah, that's what I am. From, you know, as they work out, they calculate, the hospital can't make a mistake. All right. So, you know, when I was 30, that's when I started serving the Lord, and I've never dropped the ball since that time. I went to Bible school in Nigeria for 2 years, and I've since been running with Jesus. I came back from Nigeria after 2 years. I opened up a church in Zambia in Luansha, founded the Word of Life Bible College, trained over 100 pastors, and I had a church, the Pentecostal Believer Church of God. We acquired a 5 acres plot of land, built a Bible school structure, which is still standing today, and a church building, a sanctuary called Miracle Center that, you know, has a capacity of over 300 members. We had a House of Missions 2, because House of Missions 1 was a residence in New Town in Luansha, in Gadenia Avenue there. But Mission meaning it was a house where I launched to go and preach around the world. But then God gave me another vision to build the second house at the plot called the House of Missions number 2. It's complete. It says a 4 big bedroom house with a sunken living room and big guest rooms. It's being used for the ministry. Then I designed 3 other mission residences, 3-bedroomed homes. All those homes are complete. I designed a grade 1 to 7 primary school. It's all done. I designed a place for carpentry and home craft work for the needy, and a kindergarten school plus an orphanage. Those are also running. God is gracious. You see, the things you commit to Him, God will perform. Well, if you are looking at your laptop or whatever you're using, or Wi-Fi, whatever it is, you see I got the message said, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba presents The Sound of Silence. You say, woo, Bishop Mwamba, what's that? The Sound of Silence. You know, God kind of was nudging me to share on us being responsible people, responding to the needs of the people. This title, The Sound of Silence, I'm sharing it to depict how silent we are to the needs of others. When people cry to us in need, we pay a blind eye to them and we never respond. So the title, The Sound of Silence. People beg and ask us for help. They ask us in need. And we give them a blind eye, and we don't respond to them. I like to read from the Word of God in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 15, from verse 7 to 11. The Bible there reads, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of your gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the 7th year, then, yea, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes seen among you, you shall surely give him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all to which you put your hand to do. Verse number 11. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, you know, this scripture touched me, really. Here the Lord is encouraging us that when there is the needy and poor among us, we who are better off, either financially or in material goods, we must not close our hand. The Lord is telling us to be people who are willing to give and help others in need. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I know how many, for me in my life, I've been on the receiving end for many years. You know, I did missions here in America and in Europe. And people, I'm not talking of big organizations like Church of God, this, that. No, these are individual businessmen and women gave to my hand, into my hand, thousands of dollars for the work of the ministry in Africa. To build the Bible school, to build the church. They were so gracious that when I landed here, especially in Dallas, they'll pick me up from the airport, brand new cars, SUVs, and take me to these luxurious homes of theirs, put me in a beautiful, nice bedroom with nice beddings and well-furnished home. Then, as it would be, they'll take me around, take me to good restaurants for a meal, and then take me shopping. I remember one time Teddy took me to a men's warehouse, bought me clothes, and I was there by the check register. You know, when you check out, the bill, the ticket was over $500 and some. I said to myself, this lady has bought so much of the stuff. For me, Gloria would buy me shoes costing almost $100 a pair. Socks, $30 a pair. I mean, I wouldn't buy myself a pair of socks costing $30. You know? I mean, I would buy socks costing $2. But, you know, they saw the value of giving. The whole point is we must be compassionate. There will be the needy always in our land. There will be the needy who are going to ask us for various things. Maybe they will ask us for food. Maybe they will ask us for, things that we might have. We must not close our fist. Now, I know many times we are driven to think that somebody maybe wants to steal from us, rob us. Sometimes we might be driven to think somebody want to take advantage of us, you know. That's why there's that fright in helping people. But, you know, God says here, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of your gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart. In other words, let there not come a sound of silence from you when people request things from you. Now, you know, the sound of silence that was sung by I think it's Michael and Garfunkel. They sang this song, The Sound of Silence. But the point I'm trying to drive through is that there is need in the world today. There is need in Africa. Orphaned kids, children without parents, lost their parents through AIDS. Just natural catastrophe and disaster, like in Ethiopia, where the grasshoppers and these wicked insects ate their food and people had to go through poverty, to the extent that musicians here in America, people like Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones and, you know, many of these guys put up the song and sang, it says, "We are the world," to help the suffering in Ethiopia. We got to open our hands. And, you know, one thing is what I've discovered is the more you open yourself to giving, the more God is going to bless you. the more you release your hand to help another, the more the Lord is going to let you have more. I've come to discover that I think most of in our life, we need to have a grip on things with a weak hand. What I mean is, you never know, you know, because if you really hold it so tight, you can lose it. But if you hold it softly, when God asks you to give it out, just release it, having a weak hand in a sense. We must be people who think of others and be there to help them in times of need. And you know, like the word is saying here, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need. Now, we very rarely see it so much, maybe in Christendom, where people willingly lend or give to a brother. Many, it's a sound of silence. When people ask, there is no response to reciprocate to that request and give as they need or as the people are asking and in dire need and need help. You know, many times we look at our own budgets. We look at our rent. We look at our electrical bills. We look at our telephone bills. We look at our car payment, car note, insurance, and many other things that come up with living this life that we live. And the total comes up to such hundreds of dollars, and we have very little maybe in our hands to give to nobody. And when a need arises, it's very difficult for us to stretch out because maybe we don't have. But, you know, I've come to learn, you know, when I lived in Nigeria, the bishop said, whenever you are in the house of God, no matter how small an amount of money you have in your pocket, do not leave the house of God without giving to the Lord. I have that kind of format and, habit. Whatever money I have in my wallet, no matter how small it is, I'm going to drop it in the offering basket because I do believe that God can turn the small amount that I have miraculously provide to meet my needs. You know, there are times in life when you go through a hard situation and you go through difficult times, but God gives an inspired word of wisdom. He will direct you to a place where you least expected even to get a job. And you get a job. Others will go around and around trying to find a job, but they won't. God will open a door for you to finish your house. He opens a door where you can get goods maybe at a discounted price and finish your whole house. While others are trying and they're failing to make needs meet. Maybe He will open another door for you to clothe yourself, you know, to get expensive things that will cost maybe $200, and you just get it for pennies on the dollar. That's God's grace. That's God rewarding you or repaying you for the things you have invested in the kingdom of God. Do not let an opportunity of giving to the work of God pass by. Do not let an opportunity of helping a child of God pass by because you are missing your investment. You know, here the Lord is saying in the book of Deuteronomy, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, then the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. What does that mean? What is the seventh year? Now, in Israel, there was a stipulation that every seventh year, it was called the year of release or the year of jubilee, I mean the year of liberty. The 50th year was the year of Jubilee, but the 7th year was the year of release. He said, Bishop Mama, what's the year of release? The year of release was that if any of the children of Israel had anybody owing them anything, money in thousands of dollars or whatever it was, in cattle, whatever, and they were indebted to them, and they couldn't pay the bill. Because, you see, if you couldn't pay the bill, the family took you, and you were held as a you served them in a sense as a servant to save them for those years that you know you didn't pay, and it would be like 7 years. Now, in the seventh year, it did not matter if you did not pay the person you owed any money, you did not pay your bill. It was called the year of release. You were released from that bondage and you were set free. Now, here, the Lord is saying, don't have any evil eye to say, well, the year of release is coming next year. There are only 2 months to go, and everything that this person owes is going to be released. He says, don't have an evil eye not to give him anything. Because you're looking and saying, well, he's going to have a year of release. He's going to have the freedom. He's going to have a year where he's going to have his own abundance, whatever it is, and I'm not going to give him anything. The Lord said, don't have such kind of a thought. What it means is, Do not think in terms of mathematics. Oh, if I give this individual, what's going to happen to me? Oh, look, if I give this individual, and you know, many times people say, well, I'm going to give because I want to take it off my taxes, which is good. You know, there are countries maybe you can't even take anything off your taxes. But here in America, if you give to the non-profit organizations, you can claim it on your taxes and you get it like money back that you gave out. But the whole thing, the whole ball of wax here is encouraging us to help the needy. He says, and your eye be evil against your brother and you give him nothing. And he cry out to the Lord against you and it becomes sin among you. You know, a brother can cry out against you for not helping them. That is really strange, you might think, right? No. If somebody, a child of God, you deliberately ignore them when they know you have it's in your capacity to help, they can cry to the Lord. They can cry and say, Lord, look at this, my brother. He has all I need. He has more than enough, but he can't even help me. The Bible said if he cries to the Lord, God will hold it as sin against you. We don't think about that much, do we? That's why many times, you know, we see the suffering and we wink at the suffering of the people in the world. We say, well, I don't have anything to give. What am I going to do? You know, but we can do something. We can do something. The Lord is saying, you shall surely give him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give him. He says, when you give, don't have that in your heart that pulls you aback, or you get grieved and say, oh, why did I give so much? You know, whenever you give money, there is a pain that correlates with your giving. Say if you give somebody free $500, okay, they ask you, give me money, and you give them. If you maybe hadn't had a very big budget and you are limited in your finances, when you give such kind of money, there is that thing that goes off with the money as you give it. You see what I'm saying? But, you see, here he's saying, you shall surely give him and your heart shall not be grieved when you give him. Don't get that in a pinch. Give it with joy. And I remember in my wild days, I'm not really wild days, but I had so much of thousands of dollars when I came from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I had these monies I had in a special account. It was over 40 some thousand dollars I had at my disposal, and not that people came to know that I had such kind of money, but I was. You know, I went into a wrong group of people who took advantage of my circumstance. You know, I remember those days, you know, I'd relocated from Tulsa to back to Dallas and was living by myself there in Garland. And I met this group of people who took advantage, started lying to me. Said, no, we need to pay for school fees for a child in school. Can you lend me money? I remember going to the bank and getting $800, giving this individual $800. And it was all a lie. Came to find out they were actually drug addicts. See what I'm saying? Another guy, where I was working up in one of the cities up here in Dallas, it's an adjacent city, here in Dallas. He asked me for money. He said he was short to pay for his mortgage. Can I help him with $200? I went to the bank and I got $200 and I gave him. And up to today, I've never gotten that money. Now, it's not only them, but there was a co-worker I worked with. This was in Mesquite when I was working in Mesquite. She asked me to lend her money. I think I gave her close to $100, $100. She couldn't give me back the money and started playing games. You know, these are some of the things I'm talking about, that sometimes you'll be disappointed by your graciousness, but don't you have an evil eye, or don't you become, give a blind eye to the cries of the needy. Let there be no sound of silence between you and the needs that present themselves before you. I know you've got to assess the situation as it comes. Don't just jump into anything, because some of the things you can be scammed, like I was. I lost a lot of money through being foolish. Not foolish enough, but what I'm saying is I didn't know I was being scammed, and I was scammed, really scammed. But the point is, be open. Have a compassionate heart. There are needs in this world which are genuine, you know. Even if once you help people and they disappoint you, like when I used to attend these camp meetings with T.L. Osborne and Days Washburn Osborne. All of them now are in heaven. They have gone on to be with the Lord. But I remember Days Washburn Osborne. Many times I didn't ever give to missions and I never gave to churches as such, because I was coming to the United States also to raise money for the work in Africa. But when we were in their meetings, I think I gave over $300, signed my traveler's checks, $300 gave to the work of the ministry of T.L. and Daisy Washburn Osborne. And, you know, all I'm saying is, Daisy one time she said to us, when you go out on the streets and you find people asking for help, they are there today, they ask you, you give them. I remember one time I was coming from the conference hall, and as I came from a cafe, I bought some stuff. Then this guy was asking me for food. And I took $10 and gave to the guy, $10, you know. I gave to the guy $10. You know, because anyway, at that time I didn't fully understand the currency very well to know what a $10 bill would buy or $20 bill, because I used to come into the United States, go out, come into the United States, go out when I was living in Africa. But she said, this was Washburn Osborne said, whenever you see a need and these people come to you and ask, don't say, no, you asked me yesterday, and you know, these people are just, you know, giving a headache on the street, just asking for money, and you turn a blind eye to them. He said, no, still give them. Let it be between them and God. The whole scenario here in our teaching today, the sound of silence, means that don't you ever ignore the needs of the needy in the world. And here it says, you shall surely give him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give him. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. One thing I know, I'll never be destitute in this life. I know by the time I go to meet the Lord in glory, I'm not going to leave this world in penury. I'm not going to leave this world in poverty. Poverty is not my friend. I'm not going to leave this world in lack. I know I'll leave this world great abundance, and I would have left inheritances and a big chunk of blessings to as many thousands as will be blessed. I'm going to leave a legacy that people will look at and say, they have lived a Lawrence Mwamba in Dallas, Texas, from Africa. And together with his wife, Tarina Mwamba, they did great things in America, in Africa, in Europe, and wherever God is going to open doors for us. So friends, never be the one who is going to encourage the spirit of the sound of silence. Be the one to speak up. Be the one to help the needy. Be the one to respond when somebody asks you for help, the Bible says when it's in your right to do it and do not be selfish. God bless you. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba signing off here in Dallas, Texas, and saying God bless you. We'll talk to you again, and bye-bye.